If you want to turn and just sort of follow along, you can. But I'm not going to read it. Last Sunday, if you were not here last Sunday, and Amazing Grace is your church home, I beg you, go online and listen to last Sunday's message. Preferably, if you have time, both services, because enough was different in both that maybe you could get a full deal. But I started just because of the way the year started, last Sunday was kind of the first Sunday that I had to be able to kind of talk about 2017 vision for it. And I shared just some stuff last Sunday that has just been on my heart that I just really sense God speaking to us to highlight and to focus on. And I mean, if you know, when you focus on something, that's where you'll end up. Isn't that right? If you have the resolve to do it. And so the Lord just really has impressed upon my heart an area of focus of us for a church moving forward, not for just 2017. Oh, okay. I thought you were trying to give me a secret message or something like that with your fingers. Okay, sorry. It's when your kid's looking at you with eyes. You're thinking, uh-oh, what did I do? Did I got a booger hanging out my nose or something like that? It's like, okay. And it's found from Luke chapter 14. I'm not going to go through it, but Luke chapter 14 and actually Luke 13, about halfway through on to about halfway through Luke 15, all the way, that whole section there. And let me just tell it to us without reading. You can certainly read it on your own, but just maybe to refresh our memories from last week. And the idea is that Jesus sat down at a Sabbath meal, and when he sat down at the meal, obviously people began to file in as the invited guests. And, you know, in an Eastern situation, there's a place of honor within the seating arrangement. Jesus told him, he said, you know, I've been watching you elbowing each other to try to get the greatest seat of honor, but you know, actually, he began to talk to their heart and say, it's not about you. It's not about your position. It's about your heart. And he said, you know, it's not about sitting in that seat of honor. In fact, if you sit there and somebody greater than you comes, you're going to get embarrassed because you're going to get asked by the host to move to a lower chair because there's somebody greater than you there. So Jesus then turns to the host and makes a pretty strong statement to the host that if I was the host, man, I'm telling you, it would have made you just pause and shudder. Because he says, listen, so for you, Mr. Host, he says, the next time you have a dinner, I want to encourage you to do something. He said, don't invite your friends, your rich neighbors, the people in your life that you know and that you're comfortable with. Because the truth of the matter is, by what you're doing, you're not sacrificing anything. Because all that's really going to happen is they're just going to invite you over to their place. And then anything that you may have felt like you sacrificed, you're going to get it paid back. So Jesus is pointing to a part of the heart. So he says this. He says, next time you get together, he said, if you really want to touch somebody, invite, and he used four words. I read it from Peterson's translation, which is the Message Bible, and it read a bit differently, but he used four words that's kind of a theme that Jesus used throughout the Gospels. He says, next time you have a dinner, make sure you invite the poor, make sure you invite the maimed, the lame, and the blind. He said, because then you'll have sacrificed something. And he said, and believe me, that sacrifice will pay off when? He said, at the resurrection. How many of you know what we do now has an effect on what eternity will bring? Isn't that right? So in other words, what Jesus said, it's kind of interesting. What Jesus said there, that's a pretty strong statement. How would you feel if you were that host? It would kind of just make you stop and think a little bit, right? Then he went on to say, and he gave told a story of a guy that had a dinner party. And the invited guests to that dinner party all came to him. And when he said, the meal's ready, all right, we're ready to eat. Those invited guests all came up with excuses, and there was three excuses that were used, and those three excuses are valid life excuses. They're about our well-being, they're about our jobs, and they're about our families. How many of you know those are all very, very valid things, right? It's important for us as leaders in our home, men, it's important that we see to the well-being of our family. It's important that we're honorable in our job, right? How many of you know that we need to take care of our families by working hard? And then our families, I mean, how can you negate that? Those are all things, but they all came and said, listen, I just bought a piece of land and I need to go tend to it. I need to go check it out. I just bought some oxen. I need to go see how they work. Oh, and I just got married and I need to pay attention to her. So I'm sorry, I can't come. And the owner of the guy that was throwing the party, that didn't suit well with him. And so he told his servants, he says, listen, then you guys go out into the streets. I think the one translation says, go out into the highways and the byways. And you go after, again, he used the poor, go after the lame, the maimed, and the blind, and invite them to come. So the servants did that, and they came back to the guy and says, okay, we've done it, but there's still room in the house. So he said, go out into the rural areas and compel them to come. The poor, the lame, the maimed, and the blind. The point is this, is he says, you know what? I want my house full, and there'll always be enough room. And what I just shared with us that I hope got communicated well is that You saw the graphic up there. Put that up if you wouldn't mind. I'm going to spend, starting in February, I'm going to do a series 6 weeks long. And I'm going to use the word SELFIE as an acronym. It says, SELFIE CHURCH, just flip the lens. On our smartphones, we can take selfies by having the lens directed our way. And I shared last week that I think the body of Christ at large has to really pay attention to itself, because I think that it's very easy for the body of Christ to be a selfie church. It's about us. The interesting thing about Jesus' stories was that he said, you know, he obviously communicated the heart of God in those stories. He then starts chapter 15 and starts talking about that the shepherd of the sheep will leave the 99 who are already rescued and will go and spend and look for that one lost sheep. And once he finds that lost sheep, he says, believe me, there's more rejoicing in heaven when one's lost that has been found than there is for the 99 cumulative that are already rescued. Then he told the story of the lady who lost a coin and how she cleaned the whole house and she found that coin. And she said, and Jesus said, don't you know that heaven rejoices more when the lost has been found? And so what I shared last week was, you know, maybe quite different than maybe what one would think for a typical vision sort of a presentation. But I just believe, guys, that God's saying to us as a church body, I'm not the pastor of the church at large, but I'm pastor of Amazing Grace Fellowship, is that God wants us to just simply flip the lens and to take the lens just off of us. And to go out in the highways and byways, and it's about touching others. Guys, that's the essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not about us. This is the easiest group to hang with. Why? Because there's a common understanding. And that common understanding is we're probably here because we want to be. We're probably here because we want to trust God. We want to worship together. Maybe I'll even go so far as to say that we've signed on. We're already the dinner guests at the party. Amen? And listen, it's the easiest to hang with family. Are you with me? It's not always easy to invite others from the outside. It takes work. Amen? It takes effort. And so I've just shared that I just think it's a focus issue. And then I went in and I want to talk about the first of our goals that I have for 2017. Is I want us to become they. Everybody say they. They are the heroes of faith. If you read through the Gospels, if you read in every Gospel, in fact, especially Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you're going to find a group of people that the Bible just simply refers to as they. We don't know their names, but they made it into the Word of God. They're what I call the greatest heroes of faith. They're the ones that went and took people who were sick, demon-possessed or whatever, and they brought them to Christ. You see, it's easy in the church for us to think that the world needs to come to the church. It's counterintuitive, and it doesn't happen and will not happen on any big level. Because listen, there's people that are going to come to Christ despite the church. Are you with me? There's people that will never come to Christ no matter what the church does. But do you know where the greatest group of people are? Is those that will come to church, come to the church when the church first goes to them. Let me say it another way. It's not about the world coming into the church. It's about the church going into the world and bringing Christ to the world. And listen, you can look at your neighbor and tell already they got problems. Are you with me? How many of you have problems? All right, one of them's pride, for those of you who didn't lift your hand. All right, all I'm simply saying is we all have our stuff. Are you with me? In the room, the guests that are at the dinner party are not perfect guests. We get that. But you know what? If you're a part of the church, you've already bridged the greatest chasm. Are you with me? We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That's the greatest translation that's ever taken place. You're already rescued. Thank God. Isn't the onus upon us to now go and rescue others? That's what the essence of the gospel is all about, is to tell those people who may look good on the outside, but yet they're poor inside. To those that do life really well, except for they're maimed in an area, that they just fall apart in an area. All the other stuff about their life works, but that right arm of living, it just doesn't work for them. Amen? Those that their legs are cut out from underneath of them, they can't go forward in life because of whatever. It could be a ton of things, but there's people that we all know that are poor, that are maimed, that are lame, or they're just flat out blind. I heard somebody say this a couple days ago. They couldn't spell God if you spotted them with two letters. Some of you will get that. They couldn't spell God if you spotted them two letters. There's some people that are just absolutely blind. Just have a question. How are the poor going to be helped? How are the maimed going to be helped? How are the lame going to learn how to do life and move forward? How are the blind going to be able to see unless the church? Who's the church? We are. Say, I am. Unless we go into the highways and byways and bring Christ to them. So our first goal for 2017, if you're taking notes, is I want us to become they. Jesus said when he saw their faith. So that then leads to some questions. What does your faith say not about you, but say about who your faith is in? I don't know about you, but did you ever watch the movie Sully? Right? One of the things that was interesting about that was, first of all, it's a great movie, is that if you watch those that needed rescued, what's interesting, and you may want to watch the movie again because it's stuff you don't maybe get necessarily the first time, but if you watch it, there's some that are rescued, that get rescued, and they're so traumatized, they have no eyes to think about rescuing others. It's, I'm safe, I'm good. Okay, I get it. So I'm not knocking them. It was just interesting. I've watched, being a pilot, I've watched a lot of video that maybe wasn't necessarily public. I've watched it through the FAA of different things. That it was interesting. So there's some people that get rescued, and their only thought is, well, I'm rescued, I'm good. It's like people in the church. There's some Christians who got rescued, and they came to Christ, and they never, ever think about rescuing anybody else. I'm good. Then there's others that got rescued, and soon as they got their bearings, right? Soon as they knew they were okay and that they're going to live and whatever, begin to help rescue others, right? Small percentage compared to the whole. And then what was interesting about that is I loved a true leader, a true captain. How many of you know Sully looked out for the whole crowd? And he wasn't going to worry about himself until everybody else was rescued. Right? And what's interesting is he encouraged others to rescue others, but not everybody did it. To me, it's a perfect picture of the church. So where do you fit? We've been rescued. I was rescued when I was a kid, and I really don't know what I was rescued from, to be quite honest. Are you with me? So my rescue, coming to Christ, was pretty benign. It really was. I kind of just went, I mean, unless you think a six-year-old kid can really live a sinful life in terms of how it affects your behavior and stuff like that. I came to Christ as a kid. And honestly, for me, when I look back on my 56 years of living, honestly, I don't have this dramatic traumatized situation of where I was at the rock bottom of life. Are you with me? I mean, I came to Christ as a young child, and I'm so thankful. Amen? Some of you may have been traumatized by where you were. You may found yourself underneath the water, gasping for your last breath before you came to Jesus Christ. And maybe you've been traumatized for a long time and you're just so thankful you're saved, but you yet haven't started looking of how you can help others. Wherever you may find yourself, it doesn't matter. One of the goals for Amazing Grace Fellowship that's on my heart as your pastor is that we become they. Become heroes of faith. That we're not content to just have the dinner party among ourselves. Amen? Amen? But the essence of the gospel is that let's go out into the highways and byways, the people of our lives. But pastor, that's not really that fun. I shared a stat with you that I read up on a little bit. Not only if you've been born again for 10 years, have you probably not led over 92% of people, over 98% of people have never led a person to Jesus Christ after they've been born again for 10 years. But here's the worst part of that statistic. After 10 years, you have no longer any connection to people who don't know Jesus. Your relationships are made up only of Christians. I get it. It's easy. Amen? So, I just let the Holy Spirit take you. Where do you want to be? I don't know about you. I want to be in the water rescuing others. I'm already saved. Listen, and if I die being trying to rescue others, I'm already rescued. Does that make sense? Second thing that I have on my heart for us as a church is to be more generous in how we do life. In what areas? You might think, oh yeah, here we go. He's going to talk about money. I will, but not right now. Because really and truly, as I shared last week, all of the things that we typically do that, you know, for the past 28 years, that I've done on a vision study, I've brought hard numbers on things. I brought, I'd like to believe God for 200 more people or, you know, whatever it may be. And numbers are important, don't get me wrong, because they represent lives. But I just believe this, guys, if we can flip the lens and change the focus, all the numbers will fall into play. I believe, in fact, every number will fall into play. So there's really only one thing and a goal that I have that is a hard and fast number. And I'll share that with you in just a moment. But second thing, if you're taking notes, is to be more generous in all areas of our life. So first, how does a child spell love? You've probably heard this if you've been around here at all. A child spells love, T-I-M-E. Isn't that right? Time. So can we be more generous in our time? I hear you going, ugh, I don't have enough time already. You do. Everybody from time beginning all has 24 hours in a day. It's simply how we manipulate that time. That's the issue. Hey, and I get it. Listen, I get that time is one of those deals. It's like trying to herd guppies or cats, right? Or catch a dandelion that's blowing in the wind, right? I get it. But you know what? If I could just be really honest, the truth of the matter is how we use our time is exactly how we value our time. Pastor, I have. I get it. Maybe it's an eye problem. And I'm speaking to all of us. I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to all of us. But would you agree with me that where we spend our time is really where we want to spend our time? So if it's all about me, if it's all about my family, it's all about my what, and I hear some of you go, oh, but family's important. Yes, it is. But just also stop and think about the excuse that was given to the story in Jesus. I'm married and I have to attend to my wife. So is God asking us to blow up our family and you know, spend so much time doing for others? What's the obvious answer to that? No. But you know what? What can we put in our lives that creates more time to serve others? Goal. Become more generous in our time. Become more generous in our love for others. Listen, how many of you know loving others is difficult? The truth is you can't love in isolation. It's called self-indulgence. Amen? There's got to be other people in our life. So our family's in our life, yeah. Our friends are in our life, yeah. Let's love those. But listen, do we love the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind? It's just a question that only each of us can ask. But my goal for us as a church body is to love others more generously, more intentionally. Third, relationships. Is to be more generous in our relationships. And you know what? The truth of the matter is relationships just take effort. How many of you had some really close friends in high school that now, 20 years later, you're not nearly as close? It's not because you hate them. It's not because you whatever. But you know what? At the end of the day, yeah, maybe our life trajectory changed, and so maybe there's a new circle of friends. But at the end of the day, you know what that really is all about? At the end of the day, it's this, that we're not given any time to keep that relationship alive. Amen. So, you know, for some, maybe that's good. Because maybe there were some relationships in our life that were just really damaging. But I'll just say this, now as a believer, I just want to encourage you, we can't isolate ourselves from the world. How in the world are they going to be saved? Amen. And so, relationships to the body of Christ is the same as the connective tissue to the human body. Anybody that's involved in the medical world and that has taken any biology classes or human anatomy classes know that the greatest amount of surface area that you have in your body is this thing called connective tissue. It's the greatest surface area of anything that you have in your body. And if you didn't have connective tissue, we couldn't even function on any level. I mean, even though we need relationships to be able to do life. So let's be more generous in our relationships. In other words, intentionally connecting to other people. I was telling the first service, there's a group of people in my life that would never want to darken to the door of a church. They just wouldn't. Their whole world is not church at all. There's some of them that seriously wouldn't be able to spell God if you spotted them two letters. But you know what? It's a group of people that I absolutely love. And I've intentionally, I just have a route. I'll just be real honest with you. It's literally for me a physical route that is either in a pickup or on my phone. And here's the thing. It's a physical route that I just, every 2 weeks, I touch base with a whole group of people, a whole group of guys that are poor, maimed, lame, and blind. And my whole effort is to do one thing, is to simply love them with the love of Jesus Christ. to just simply love them. Well, are they a project? No. Listen, people should never be a project, but people should be an object. The object of what? The object of the love of God. And you know what? I'll just work at it towards ever. I was telling the story in between services of a person that some that have been a part of Amazing Grace Fellowship, you know, 25 to 28 years will know who it is, but I won't mention his names at this stage. But when we first went to our Hawaii, there was a gentleman that just was he could hell raise first class. First class, okay? He could do it really, really well. And I just chose him to be an object of the love of God. It's like, I'm going to win that person to Jesus Christ, come hell or high water. Well, he had nothing to do with me for years. He avoided me like the plague on any significant level. Once I brought maybe a rent check for the church or something like that, that was okay. But past that, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Well, I used to have an office at the Y, and I would just stop by and say, hey, you want to go do lunch? Nope. Got an appointment. It's like, yeah, you dirty dog, you don't either. I mean, in my brain, it's like, yeah, sure. Wow. Okay. I just kept at it to where one day he said, hey, do you want to do lunch? My answer was, oh, stink. In my head. This is going to take effort. Yep, love to do lunch. Where are we going? He goes, I don't know, just get in the car, let's go. Do you know where he took me? He took me to a bar. I never flinched. Listen, I'm not telling this to boast. I'm just telling you how it can work itself out. Never flinched. We went into a bar. You know what he ordered? Dirty dog. He ordered a pitcher of beer. I ordered a Dr. Pepper. So we get done, had lunch together. On the way back, we got to the parking lot and he shut the car off and he said, so what'd you think of that? I said, that's good food. He said, did you like going into a bar? I said, that's the second bar I've been in. First one when I was 8 years old. We used to do street meetings. That was in a different era. Brother Bierman was out on the street corner in Stratton, Colorado, playing his guitar. He just said, go invite people. I'm 8 years old. I went into a bar. I didn't know. I went to a bar. I just invited everybody in the bar. I said, hey, my pastor out here is playing the guitar. Let's go listen to my pastor. Brother Bierman came in looking for him. He's like, Liam. He goes, you might not want to go in there by yourself. First of all, you're too young. It's like, okay. I said, so that was the second bar I've been in. He goes, you never flinched. I said, why would I flinch? I'm there with you. He said, how'd you like that pitcher of beer I ordered? He goes, I ordered it to make other people think you were drinking it. I said, but you know, the people that are important know better. You know, I know, and God knew. He said, I cannot believe you went into that bar with me. A year and a half later, he came forward to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He and his family, they're no longer in that area. They're out of state. Why? How long did that take, Pastor? Took close to 5 years of just choosing to make somebody an object, not a project. There's a huge difference to make somebody an object because I just love the guy. Well, did it just come like that? Oh, no. Spent a lot of hours over at their house helping with some things. Not counseling things, just physical things. I had some expertise in a few areas and went over to their house and whatever and needed to move some livestock, had no horse trailer. I did. Hey, I can do that. Did I enjoy it all? No. But you know what? It's not about our enjoyment. It's about their rescue. So just how bad do we want to rescue others? So becoming more generous, I've talked about time, love, relationships. Last one, of course, is finances. Can we be more generous in our finances? You know, we were talking this week, there's kind of a stat that's body of Christ wide, unfortunately. Over 80% of the income that comes into any church in America comes from people that are 45 years and older. Glaringly missing is the young folks. Glaringly missing. A lot of reasons why. Sociologists have tried to come up with why. A lot of the millennial area have grown up. If you read about it, a lot of them have grown up. And maybe an overemphasis or an emphasis on mis-money management within the church. And so by and large, a lot of the millennials, it's just out of their world. They're not going to give, period. And they don't by the thousands. Which, you know, that's between them and God. Amen? But can we be more generous in our finances? I know some of you go, well, here comes money. No, I'm just throwing some stuff out. Is it a godly thing? Is tithing Christianity 101? And I'll just say this, and I'll just throw it out there. If you don't tithe and you're a Christian, I want to just encourage you. Do a little bit of study. See if it's valid. Amen? And if you want the clincher, ask God if you should. Amen. I can tell you the answer, but you need to discover it on your own. I get it. But let's be generous in our finances. Why? Because you can't do anything without it. So I'm not talking about just finances to the church. Because, you know, there's a lot that we do that as individuals that just help others out financially. Amen? If we're blessed, let's be a blessing. One of the things that I just think is precious, and I don't say it. I shared this back in November, and somebody in the body of Christ blasted me for it. And I just thought, you know what? Get over it. In September, my wife and I were with my pastor, and on the way home, so we were driving from Colorado. And on the way home, I just had the thought, I wonder how much we've given in missions over the last 28 years. And so I asked Tina, our accountant, to figure it out. And honestly, I had a figure of probably a little over $1 million. But guys, in 28 years, we've given $2.39 million into missions in the ministry. Is that incredible or what? I just look at that and go, wow. When I shared that, here's the kickback that I got. The right hand shouldn't know what the left hand's doing. I can't believe you said that in front of everybody. You acted like you were so proud. I am. Because you know what? It comes from you. God didn't send albino ravens with pink eyeballs and drop money bags over us. It comes through people that work hard. Amen. But you know what? I would like to see it not take 28 years. I'm thankful. I can't believe it. I close my eyes and I just weep inside. I just can't believe. But you know one thing I'd like to do? I'd love to see us not take 28 years to give another $2 million. Are you with me? In other words, let's be more generous. It's a goal. Let's just be more generous, okay? A hard one is the only one of this, only one of the lists that I have that's a hard one. In Bulgaria, we've been laboring there. I start my 21st year now of being in Bulgaria. I can't believe it. And yeah, there's a picture of the cheese processing plant. Isn't that amazing? So go back to that one that you were just on, that one right there. So this end, and then see the stuff that raises up down there. That's the office end. That's the workers' end. There's women and men's locker rooms, showers, and bathrooms. Because when they go, so where that steps down and then comes this way, that's the actual cheese production side. It's linear. The milk will come in on that side, come in, and then it'll work its way through the plant and then come out on this side. It'll come out packaged, marked, ready to roll to be exported. Whole Foods in America are just waiting for us to be on track. They want to carry it. I don't think it'll actually go there, honestly, because I think we can get it in Western Europe for a lot cheaper. What's that for? It's so we can do the number one thing in that university, that private university. Probably don't have that on those pictures, but this is simply a vehicle that's going to assist financially with the private university that we want to do in Bulgaria to raise the level of not only godliness, but to raise the level of what God's called us to do there. So this is a vehicle to get that done. Guys, we've been at this for years. And thank God we are where we are. So we need the walls, and we need to then to populate it with all the necessary stuff, the vats, the coolers, and the whatever. And so our goal, that's good. The superstructure getting up. It's up. And our goal is in 2017 to have it done. Okay, so that's a lot of money. It's a few $100,000. But you know what? Not only does our God own the cattle on 1,000 hills, he owns the hills. Amen. Amen. So that's our goal. This year, we're going to do a missions trip. So I just want to encourage you. I'll put together some figures for that. Actually, prices were down the last time I went. But this summer, we're going to do a missions thrust where we've been in an area called Zlokuchine, where we do a ministry among a gypsy community of about 6,000. And, you know, there's another missions thrust that we want to do. Listen, my heart has been, let me just spend just a minute or two on missions. Is that okay? One of my heart has been is that I understand this Bulgarian trip is an expensive trip. It's not the typical, you know, $300 to $400 missions trip that you can go to somewhere. But like Steve Gilbert always takes a group to the Dream Center, either Dream Center in LA or Dream Center in Phoenix. That's a cheaper trip, and I get it. I get that not everybody can go to Bulgaria. I think maybe if a person really had a heart to go, I think you could amortize that out for a year or two and set a little bit aside and get the money together to go. But really close friends of ours do an incredible work in Haiti among an orphanage. And they have a school now of about 200 and something little brown little kids that are just precious. And going to actually take a trip there this year and set it up to where we could, you know, there's some, especially some nursing things that we could do, some medical stuff that we could do there. That would also be, it's a pretty cheap trip in terms of getting there and staying there and stuff like that. So we're going to keep our, I just believe that if we have a heart for the world, if we flip the lens to others, it touches the heart of God. Amen. So we'll have some clearer stuff on that, but there is going to be a trip to Bulgaria. Used to be every other year in terms of the missions, that a trip that would be, you know, we've taken some building trips, but you know what? That's hard for a lady to go. I know some of you are really tough ladies and you know all that, but it just makes it difficult, right? That, to me, that's stuff that maybe is more geared for a guy. But we're going to do stuff every year. So just mark on that we're going to do some of that. That's the only hard number, goal-wise, is I want to get that thing done this year. Fourth is that everyone that calls Amazing Grace Fellowship their home, if you call Amazing Grace Fellowship your home, I'm going to ask you to get involved on some level. On what level? I don't know. Some level. Because listen, what happens when you don't participate? What typically can happen? You do it every Sunday when you watch sports. The best coaches in the world sit on couches. Are you with me? When you're not actually participating, isn't it easy? I'm telling you, if the Cowboys would have just listened to me, they could have won that game. And I'm not a Cowboys fan necessarily. But Kellen Moore's there, so I've got to be now. But anyhow, are you with me? Have you ever watched your kids play a game? And whatever, and you're just like, why didn't you make that? Or that stupid coach? I know some of you are going, yeah, but we really did have a stupid coach. Forget all that. All I'm just saying is, what happens when we're not participating? It's just people. It's easier to criticize when you don't participate. That's just all there is to it, right? Because then you realize it's something. I was thinking that every receptionist that we've ever had at Amazing Grace from day one, every receptionist without fail, especially now that we're much larger. Here's the thing in a month. When you have the month, first month review or the first 60 days review, here's what every receptionist has ever said that's ever answered the phone in that office over there. They go this, well, how's it going? They go, I had no idea. No idea about what? No idea what goes on behind the scenes at a church to A, just pull off a church service, or to take care of all the different ministries that are involved. Everyone go, I had no clue. Kendra, I had no idea. And you know what? Once you really realize and get involved in it, you really realize that, ooh, wow, maybe it's not just quite as easy or whatever as I thought it may have been. I told the story first service, Drett and I in Nova Scotia, I like to play golf. And, you know, it was really expensive to play up there and we didn't have much money. And so just, you know, kind of save my money once a month and go out and golf. And Drett would just sort of make fun. And, you know, golf's not a sport. Not a real sport. And just you know, she can be a little, she's sweet and an encourager, but there are some things that she can just kind of, and so it's not that big. It can't be that hard. And so just make these little comments. And it's like, all right, I had a belly full of it. And I'm out there one day and it's like, all right, you know what? I've had enough of you. So here's the deal. You put the golf club in your hand, big girl, and you just see how good you are. 28 strokes later, frustrated, pick up her ball, shut her mouth. Why? Seriously. It's real easy to look from the outside when you're not doing a thing and make judgment calls. But once she sat down and tried to take that 2-inch by maybe 3-inch little piece of iron and hit an inch and a quarter ball or however big it is in the direction you want it to go, oh, it changed her ball game. Do you know what? I'm convinced that churches all over America would have a different vibe about them if the people that complain the most. And listen, I'm not saying you're complainers. I'm talking principle that you know is true. If those that were complaining the most, if they were really involved in the ball game, I wonder how their complaining would go. Amen? Teachers deal with this with parents. Right? I mean, coaches deal with it with parents. Right? My goal is that if you call Amazing Grace your home, get involved on some level. Amen? In what levels? Let me tell you what. There is a plethora of areas that you could get involved. And I know sometimes what the church is bad at is that you get involved in an area and secretly you really don't like it. It's really not you, but you don't have the guts to say it, right? And so you serve in an area that you just don't like. Let me just tell you where all of our staff are. If you feel like you want to get involved and try out an area and a couple weeks later you go, I know one thing. I know that area is not my area. I want you to know. We take that. Thank God. Amen? Because we don't want you to serve where you don't want to serve. And you know what? We'll transition you someplace else. But I just encourage you on some level. What does that look like? Talk to any of us. And you know what? There's a ton of areas that you can serve. We're not asking you to, you know, to sign on and become part of the Word Work. Take on huge, huge responsibilities. We want to work with where you are, with what you feel like you can carve out. But let me just tell you what. Sacrifice is involved. Amen? Lastly, and then we'll get ready to celebrate communion, is I want us to pray more as a body of believers. And I encourage and challenge you as an individual. You've heard me say this before, that the church moves forward on its knees. I believe that we move forward individually in life on our knees as well. Amen? It's easy to try to do life sometimes. It's easy to try to honestly do church with just our own minds, our own wisdom, based even upon real life experience. But you know what? His ways are not our ways. And the only way we find out a lot of things is simply by spending time with God. So one of the things that we're going to implement is on Wednesday nights. I understand that you go, school, and I get all that. I still think there's ways that we can move things to where we can still be apart. Listen, it's sacrifice. Amen? And, you know, the first Wednesday night, we're going to pray. We're not going to do just worship. We're going to do some worship and prayer. And we're going to do that the first Wednesday night of every month. And I want to just encourage you, if there's no other Wednesday nights that you can come, come on that night so that we can pray and worship God. Because I think that when we hear God, guys, it's far better than just hearing someone else. Amen? So with that, let's all stand up and let's get ready to celebrate communion today.